But if he shouldn't carry in a bill, but he said that nobody is in them, so he restrict what bill he will have to pay.
Don't forget, he has to have, first of all, there's a minimum, there's a minimum charge.
A minimum charge.
Right. And that minimum charge has now been increased by what? By the tax that the government has applied. So if he had been paying $30 on each for every month, now he's paying more than that, you know, $75.
Plus the 45.
So for him, that's a cost that is of concern. See, if they were all combined into one bill, it may be seen differently. But if they are individual bills, that's where people like him would feel that they are being squeezed.
Which means then that when the person rent the place, then that the person is going to pay for water.
Yeah,
so he
could.
I don't think that could be a big problem to him.
Well,
he could
pass it on, for sure.
Yeah. Of course.
Excuse me.
Pass it on to him.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a big problem. Anyway, another thing there, but people complain about the minibuses or whatnot.
Yes.
First beginning, who was there before put a lot of problems out there, because if a rope got. Let me say a road got 100 people, and you put 50 vans on the road. That means only two people per person. So it can cause rebelling, fighting, and all kind of thing just to get more than two people. And they think too much vans is together, and the vans need to be spread. Need to be spread out. And some of the problems will stop. That river terminal need some of those sheds and things inside there need to be taken down and make room for the vans and put a line for them that when they come in, they're supposed to be behind one another. If you catch being not behind one another and find you're rambling, suspend the permit. And that could be easily be done. Catch a player with this music, you can pay people, get in the van, got a recorder upon them, but I know you got a recorder, you take down the number, and you pass it on to the authority. And you got proof. Yes, you was playing dirty music. Remove you. Suspend the van. Let the owner, make the owner understand what the time is.
We want you to know, boy, sometimes you run into a lot of difficulty trying to determine what's dirty music. You can get so many defenses of what you may consider to be dirty. You understand?
Is some dirty music that's played.
Yes, there is some.
So if you record the music and you carry in, the person record it, they hear it, they find out what music is, then you know what is dirty music from other music that people may call dirty music.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some of it that is extreme. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly.
But there is some that one person considers that music is dirty music, as you call it. And then somebody else say, but you know, you remember what Benwood Dick by Sparrow, and then they go a host of other songs over the years that have been played.
I know excuses gonna make all around.
You understand?
So okay then, to start the excuses, cut out the music.
Well,
play the radio.
We've been over this so many times. Like I don't know. I wait to see. What the new minister responsible for transport has in mind.
Cut out the music. And if you cut out the music, you will stop a lot of people from running for this particular van or running for that particular van because they can say, well, if again, I can hear the same thing this year. So that needs to be stopped and that will solve a lot of the problem.
All right, sir.
Easy, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Down to Brass Stacks, hello. You on the air? Welcome to the program. Hello. 4341790.
Good morning, Miss Alice.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I said so about four times before I heard your voice.
Okay, I'm hearing you for the first time. I only heard you once.
Okay. Now, I'm here and I'm enjoying Brass Stacks today.
I have no doubt.
Brass Stacks is so sweet today. Now, we have a... someone who loves Mayor Motley calling, complaining about the heavy duty on his water bill. And we have someone that loves the BRP calling to attack him, not knowing the extent the man has. It's strange, huh? Bees after bees. It's strange. Yeah, Miss Ellis, I following the weather these couple of days, I'm surprised of a lot of things that's happening. Now, when you listen to the weather now, the impression that I'm getting is that the Prime Minister and the Barbecue Party had no idea of the amount of debt and how the state of the economy was. Right? They learn all of these things to enter Parliament. Now, if I go back even 5 years and come up, the Prime Minister
are you there? Hello? I hope you're there because, you know, given the kind of line that you take, it won't be difficult for somebody to suggest that we cut you off.
You hear me?
I hear you now.
You didn't hear me before?
No, I heard only a part of what you said.
No, what I was saying is, listening to the radio stations these days.
I heard that. I heard that portion.
I am getting the understanding that the Prime Minister, the present Prime Minister,
didn't know about the state of the economy.
And their party had no idea the state of the economy. They never knew that the country was in this sort of debt, and etc. And if I go about 5 years or so, the main person that was critical of this country and the way it was going and the amount of debt we was in is the present Prime Minister. At least at one stage, she even said things were so bad that we had defaulted on her loan. I know you remember that one well.
Yes.
But you and I had a discussion about that.
Yes.
And the Minister of Finance at that time asked her to apologize. And she said she would not apologize because it's true. You remember that too?
I remember that exchange, yes.
Okay. This is what I'm saying. All of us know the country in trouble. And I explained this to you before, so I don't have to go over it again. This in the 5 year, 10 year, this is a 2001. It was before 2001, but the real problem started when we went 2001. And we got to get out. But I don't believe that a government that is in charge of this country for about 102 days or so, 100 days or it might be even about 99 to 100 now, can operate like how this government is operating and ask people to be contented, to say, okay, don't mind the water bill, don't mind the increase. When the country is so difficult, so hard, as I'm hearing, why increase your ministries? Why decide, because if you have a shop or business and you have a lot of old debt, and the old debt ain't paying as you were late or any coming in, and you're in trouble, you weigh all those who owe you and try to see how much you could get in. No matter how small it is better than nothing. But you go back to 1968 to 2000 and write off all of those debts, all of them, including some that we know, that you know about. Write off all of them. Then you decide, I want more ministries. You move from 17 to 26, more ministries. More advisors within the Ministry of Finance. You know the last government had trouble in giving the civil service an increase in salary. But you just come in, you can ask for a little time and go down at least 6 months to a year before you do it. As you get in, you give them a 5% increase. $60 million more you got to look for. How can the country be in trouble and doing those things?
We went through that already. I told you that what the government gave the public servants, they also took back with the taxes.
No, but what I am dealing with is this. I am tired of hearing those BFPs who really cannot defend properly saying that the government and the Prime Minister especially didn't know that the country got problems. She knew.
I don't think that is a correct characterization of what I've heard.
To me.
I haven't heard that. I have never heard that.
Now, explain it to me what you don't understand.
Because as far as I'm aware, you have articulated it quite well. For quite some years now, the Prime Minister, the current Prime Minister, has been saying that the Barbados economy is in trouble. But and if that could not be seen by the 20 downgrades that we had, then I would not be able to comprehend where the focus would have been for the then opposition leader. Everybody knew that. What is the issue right now is that when you get down, when you drill down and you get into the nitty-gritty, you are discovering that statutory corporations, the details, the extent to be certain of the statutory corporations in particular, are in debt. That is something which I don't think, when you pull them all together in the way that this government has done, I don't know that that has been done for the public before in this way. So you are now getting a better understanding of the depth of the problem, especially as it relates to the state-owned enterprises. But to say that the government is behaving as though it is now discovering that the Barbados economy is in trouble, I don't think that's a fair characterization of what they've been saying. I think we're getting ready to go to the regional roundup. So if you want to, you can stay, because I do welcome your interventions, and we can talk a bit more after the news. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yes, sir. Proceed.
I hope that I could help advise the Prime Minister and let her know that this is not a 100-yard sprint.
What do you mean?
I'm finishing up. This is a distant race. And as she continue, I don't think she's going to finish this race.
Explain. You got to go deeper than that. In what ways do you believe that it is she's treating it as a sprint when it is a marathon?
Well, this is my belief. Following politics and all the administrations over the years here and on other countries, I believe that when you take over the leadership of a country and you know the condition the country is going through at the time, because don't mind all the talk that they know. All of them know. They know. And
Well, I have dismissed your assertion that they were talking as though they didn't know. If you use that as your premise, then I think it's flawed.
Okay, well, let's move on.
You can only say they are now presenting to you a greater detail, but they argued the whole campaign on the basis that the economy was in trouble.
Let's go back to that part and not if they knew or not.
Right.
I am saying that within 99 to 100 days,
mm-hmm.
I think she's trying to do too much.
Well, explain.
Now, for instance, the country's hard. I went over the cutting in income tax owed to the government, that 68 to 2000 deduction, wipe out all that money going to others. She rushed to the university. That could have waited for at least a year. Feel things out. Increased in pension for non-contributories. That could have waited a year also, or 6 months.
Can I put to you increasing
the salaries of government workers that was waiting for 8 years. You don't have to hurry to do it.
Okay.
I'm saying that she's trying to do too many things.
That's a matter of opinion. So let me put to you what I consider to be the significant factor that is hastening all of this. And you can tell me whether you think that matters. If you are going to enter a program with the International Monetary Fund, assuming that you agree that there is a need to enter such a program, or do you believe that that's something that should have been postponed too? Because that is driving all the other things.
You hear it told you at the beginning that she's running 100-yard and there's a spring, which is a spring.
But you're not answering. You've said that already. So let me ask you the question. Let me ask you the question. Let me ask you the question. Do you accept that it is necessary for us to enter an IMF program now?
No, I can't agree. My party didn't agree with it.
Your party? I didn't ask you about your party. I asked you about your view.
If they didn't agree with it, I didn't agree with it.
Well, you obviously are a blind loyalist. But
okay, you can say that.
Yeah, and you don't have any apologies to make for it. But I can put it to you this way. Before this election, before the elections of May 24th, I would express the point of view that it did not matter who won the elections. Barbados had no option but to go to the IMF.
That is your opinion.
That was my opinion. However, let me say to you, if you begin from the position that you don't think we should go to the IMF, then you can hold fast to your view that these measures are coming too fast and too furious. If you accept on the other side of the coin, this is more than one side to the argument, if you accept on the other side of the coin that Barbados has to go to the IMF because our reserves are dwindling and dwindling fast, then you have to put measures in place, first of all, to convince the IMF that you are serious about bringing about change and to bridge the divide between yourself and them so that you narrow the differences by the time you get to negotiate. Because if you don't do that, you know what they're going to ask you for. You can go back to the Article 4 consultations over the years and you can identify the key things that they have been saying to us. SOEs, state-owned enterprises, for instance, the need to amalgamate certain entities and that sort of thing. All of that we have been told. We recognize that there are also areas, because revenue and expenditure don't match, that anybody who's looking at it will say to you, you either got to trim staff or raise user fees, or you got to do a combination of both, or you got to privatize something. So that informs the haste that we are seeing. Now, that's the other side of that, right?
Yeah, but Mr. Ellis, suppose this haste, for instance, let's say the 20% that she have taken off at the university, suppose she got to go back there after the IMF come down next 2 years or so. Suppose by hasting and rushing it right, after these measures that, as I heard, is homegrown with the IMF help, let's say in 18 months or so, things in which where the IMF believe, and then you got to go back to the university and implement it again. I want to use the university as one.
Fine. Good question.
What I'm saying is, rushing into these things, you might come back.
Okay, but let me ask
down the road by having to implement.
Fair enough, but that's a political gamble. That's a political gamble that you take. And if you find 18 months from now that measures that have been implemented have not been working in the way that you desire, you wheel and come again. You look, you review it, and you take action. Stop and ask this question. Answer the question that if, since 2008, we followed policies that we recognized did not work, how many times did the former administration come back to us and say that the program aimed at revitalizing the economy had to be revamped? Because you recognize that there's no perfection, and we've been through this process before. The difference is that you're doing this now towards the goal of restructuring the economy and getting assistance at relatively low rates to address the problem.
Yeah, before let me get this one in so someone else to get on.
Sure.
Mr. Ellis, I don't know if I heard right yesterday, and I know you will go over it and over it so you can help me. Did I hear that the workers at the sanitation and the transport board, the buses and the garbage trucks will be handed over to the workers?
Yes, I heard. I didn't hear the garbage trucks, but I heard the buses. That there are one idea which has been advanced, and remember this, the person speaking made it clear that there are policy decisions that have to be made. But at this stage, these are the ideas that have been advanced by the economic team. And one is that the people who are driving the buses can take them over and run them privately. So what's wrong with that in your judgment? Your feedback is necessary.
Mr. Harris?
Yes, sir.
You've let some of these people wait to school too long? That has come up with these ideas?
Explain.
Now, you have some buses in Barbados that from 208, I used to pass and see a large percentage of them parked by a particular car dealer. Those buses have problems 12 years ago. You can hand them over to poor people?
Well,
that is what I heard. That is what I want to find out.
So, let me ask you something.
Over to poor people?
And therefore, there's a valid question. Would you, as a bus driver, take over a bus that you know got problems?
No, don't bring the bus driver into it, because you will find some fella now who will take the chance. I'm dealing with the policymakers, the persons who are thinking, who are being paid to come up with ideas. How can anybody come with that? I can remember years ago, Ben Beveridge made a decision like that. But those tracks were good working tracks. How can anybody that you're paying, that they say they're advisors?
You know what could easily emerge out of this?
What?
That a group of Indians in Barbados could work with a group of the people inside the transport board who are bus drivers and come up with an approach where they can get parts, set up their own private garage, buy the buses, and in next to no time, you know what would happen? You would have a fleet of these buses being run by Indians in Barbados and Black Barbadians complaining about it.
No,
you got to seize the opportunity.
That is not what I'm dealing with.
You're dealing with the idea that somebody could come up with the idea, because you consider the idea to be preposterous, far-fetched.
Do you?
Well, I understand the point that you are making, that a right-thinking person working with the transport board should not enter into an arrangement, if they're sensible, where they're going to go and acquire a bus and then have to fix that bus to keep it on the road as an old bus. I accept the point. But I'm also saying to you, and while I accept that point, I also know that there are other people who would look at it and see an opportunity. Because, you know, in Cuba, for instance, they got some buses and some cars that have been on the roads since the 1960s.
You send it for those mechanics now?
No. I'm saying that where there's a will, there's a way.
No, you got to bring the mechanics too.
No, but the truth of the matter is that, look, Barbados got vintage cars on the road. They're vintage vehicles.
Owned by people that got money.
Yeah, but we got money too, but we don't pool our resources. We got money. That's why I tell you, you can find a different group of people in Barbados who would see the opportunity, while people like us debunk the notion completely and don't capitalize on it, opening up the door for other people. And then 10 years from now, we continue to complain about what's happening to the majority of the people in the country. All I'm saying to you is explore it and take this into consideration. If the bus hold, then that has a bearing on the price that they're selling it to you at.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. But before I go, I have to thank VOB for the improvement on when you're calling. About 90% improved.
That has improved. Thank you very much. Largely because we have reorganized the studio setup. So we have somebody on the producer is on the other end, because, you know, previously the producer was right in here with us, and that was something of an irritant to both the producer and the moderator. So we've changed that.
I hope other areas improve too.
Well, I also hope that you improve as a caller too.
You have a good day.
All right. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
I'll call you back, Francis. Good afternoon.
You are on the air.
Yes, please. I want to make a contribution with regard to the same water, the not only the water bill, but the gentleman with the apartment. And this is where I'm going with this. I find in Barbados, and I'm talking from my experience with dealing with people, that you pay a couple of dollars, a couple thousand of dollars, to go and study for a particular career. Yeah? And when you finish and you establish, you expect to make back the money the same as quick as possible. Quicker than when you study for it. All right? And this is like professions like in the medical profession, the legal profession, at the exorbitant prices that these people charge you for services. If you were doing apartments as an investment, David, the first thing you know is you risk. The risk of not having a tenant. The risk of not having a tenant for a long time. So it's a big risk you're taking. If your realtors come and say to you, look, this apartment building here, you can get $1,000 a month comfortable for it. Somebody come up to you, they don't have $1,000, and they ask you for $9, to allow them for $9 or $8. You're going to refuse $9 or $8 because you know that your apartment's worth $1,000. So seven apartments at $1,000 is $7,000 a month, yeah? Seven apartments at $800 is really $5,600. And you got bills to pay. You're telling me you're refusing.
But where is this argument coming from? That people are refusing?
No, what I'm saying, I'm telling you how sometimes these things happen.
Sometimes.
When you say apartments are empty.
But a lot this depends upon the niche that a person is looking at. I mean, if you are looking at driving local tenancy, that's a different matter. If you're looking at the external market, then you're going to. If suppose you have Airbnb as a method by which you are using to have people come to your apartment, you're looking for holiday rentals and that sort of thing. That's a different market altogether.
I agree, but what I'm saying. You still know. You still knew the risk before you started.
And what are you saying?
Then you see that you know seasons and so on. Then you know these things in advance. If you're thinking about an external market, you hook up with people that you know that look. These people are going to be coming down here for 3 months at a time, 2 months at a time, whatever. But all I'm saying to you is this: if nobody is using the water and he's paying the minimum. The thing is, the water is a standard rate, so you can't get away
from
that.
His issue is not that he don't want to pay the water bill. His concern is that the increase makes it onerous on people like him.
But David is on everybody.
That is correct, but he's running a business, and he's saying, look, there are other people in this country just like me who are running businesses, and it is not that you don't want to look at shouldering some of the burden, but re-examine how much of a burden you're placing on business people like that. That's the point that he's making.
But David, how much legislation you're going to make for the same thing you're looking at?
The people who make...
Pensioners, you're going to have it for normal householders, you're going to have it for restaurants, you're going to have it then for...
Look, I have heard so many arguments made in favor of the hoteliers of this country when the government imposed that recent tax on them and asked them to shoulder some of the burden. People at all levels in this country were saying, you're going to kill the tourism industry because they are being asked to shoulder some of the burden.
Them is excuses. I'm talking about the water there. How much legislation can you make?
It's not about legislation. Look, as far as I'm concerned, it's about feedback. The government has imposed a particular tax. There are times when taxes come up for review. Sometimes you don't see the full blast of what you're doing, and there is room for modification. I do not know to what extent other people who are in that business have made such representation. There are some who will react like you and say, look, everybody got to share this burden, and therefore, you as a business person, you're going to have to take a hit here as well. And then there are others who will say, look, the burden is a little too much. when you take into consideration how my business has been running. And therefore, the government there has to listen and determine whether there is merit in that particular argument or not.
The big thing about this, David, what I really want to know at the end,
mm-hmm.
where they would have placed the amount that they are going to take in with all of these different taxes, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And an effort to bring to stabilize the economy. My big question is, when you have reached the target, what?
The big problem, you know that Barbadians aren't discussing something that I knew as our reality way back. There has long been a perception that Barbadians live beyond their means. There has long been an attempt to try to cushion the impact. But ultimately, we have to face this argument that is being presented to us right now. Because when you look at the number of statutory corporations that are in trouble, what money has been voted for them is not enough, and they are heavily in debt. They are representative of the notion that we are living beyond our means. So people don't want to come and tell us that in a direct way, but ultimately, for me, that is the message that is being sent. So there's a need to correct this, and this correction is going to cause a lot of pain for some. Now, the government has talked about how it is seeking to cushion the impact of that. But,
yeah, but David, mm-hmm. has anybody, any relevant authority,
mm-hmm.
if I come and say, look, my business suffering because this, that, and that, I've lost money here, there, whatever, has anybody really ever done a survey with some of these businesses that claim they're suffering to see if they're really suffering? Because if you in your business, David, you want 100% markup and you don't care what the government put on, you getting you 100%, you know what you're going to do.
But a sensible...
You can try and buy into the thing that everybody calling for some help, you can try and do it too. But not necessarily that you really want help.
Look, you know what I am worried about? I'm worried about an undercurrent that tells me that too many Barbadians are anti-business. They're anti-business, even though we have seen an explosion of small people who are in business and want to be in business. But the narrative that has long been dominant in some quarters is that as long as you are a business person, you can't afford anything. And then there's
Not you. That is not what I'm looking to think. I'm saying there are some who would jump on the bandwagon because...
There are some, but you... But let me say to you, if any person like that is asking for incentives or support, then the agency to whom they go, that agency has a responsibility to investigate.
That's what I'm asking. If
but really, you don't just give away your money just so? Nobody gives away their money just like that.
You'll be surprised.
Well, they shouldn't. All right. Thank you very much. This person says...
I just want to know if after this, if something will be done to reduce, once they reach the targets that they're looking at, if the money, the taxes, some of these taxes will come back down.
Well, the whole goal of all of this is for this Barbados economy to grow. When the economy grows, there is an improvement in the standard of living for everybody. That is what you're looking towards. Taxes, I mean, if you are able to attract more international business to this country and to fill that gap which has been created by the large amount of money that we've lost in a relatively short period, then overall the situation should improve. This person says there are a lot of inconsistencies with this new government. We are all willing to pitch in and do our part to get the island out of the current mess. But do ask the man at the bottom to suffer. While other persons are being looked after, there was no need for this large amount of ministers and PSs at this time. These were not budgeted for, but to pay them. Payment to the small supplier or contractor was placed on hold. They are also implementing nonsensical policies, for example, the license plate issue. This is placing unnecessary burden on vehicle owners. I should also tell you that I got some feedback to the question which was raised about the minimum wage, and I am told that this particular matter has not been addressed by government yet. So in the slew of legislation that has gone through Parliament, this is not among them. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. We continue this edition of Down to Brass Tacks until 1:30. I have a question here, and it is for somebody to tell us exactly what has happened with this new business at Bat's Rock. Now, I have noticed that somebody has been allowed to conduct this business on the beach, and they're doing it from a small building which had previously been used for picnics and other events that were taking place there. I got the impression that the Rotarians might have played a pivotal role in creating that facility. It now has a thatched roof, and there are beach chairs on the beach in an area where people previously walked. And people are actually going to that business. I get the impression that they are being brought there as well by tour buses or what have you. Now, I cannot be unmindful of the fact that the NCC and or whatever government agency is responsible for it needs to make money in a difficult period by possibly leasing or renting out these facilities in this area. But I think you need to be very careful that that is balanced against the need for average Barbadians to have beach spaces for their own retreat and enjoyment. And this goes way back to that discussion that took place years ago about windows to the sea. The new beach business has significantly transformed Bat's Rock, in my judgment. It is transformed for the many Barbadians who use it as a place of recreation. And I declare that I'm one of the people who love Bat's Rock. I love it because of the trees. You know, it's a good place of retreat. So from that point of view, when I was wondering what they were going to be doing there, when I see what has unfolded, it saddens me because, you know, it has really changed this public space. And it comes on top of what happened years ago when they cut down all the trees to make way for what is now the failed Four Seasons project. And when that matter had been raised back then, the original plan was that they're going to replant. Well, because of the failure, nothing so happened. So I really think that given the number of people who use it, that going in this direction requires an explanation from the authorities. Because when it comes to periods like public holidays and that sort of thing, a lot of people use that area. What are they supposed to do now? And why is it that this has been introduced in this way and people haven't been told anything? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm well.
Okay. Look, there's so many things I want to touch on now, but I'm going to try to speed talk some. Now, we need to have a rigid policy as regarding beachfront land, beach land, etc. For years, we've been really dealing with the whole situation. This beach is mine. Look, we need to have a serious policy as regarding beach and beaches in Barbados. That would take care of that.
I don't know that would take care of that. I mean,
so what's going to take care of
there
it?
Must be a policy now. There's a policy now, but I think that they should be given the opportunity to explain what they're seeking to achieve there. And as I said, it has to be balanced against the interests of other people. Now, there's another, I saw something in the newspaper as well about something about Brighton. Again, we go back, that has more to do with the high water mark and all of that. I do not see this in that context. This is not a property that was there being, that somebody... a private person owned, as far as I knew. This is something which I believe the NCC would have responsibility for, and they have embarked upon this particular approach.